Hi, welcome. My name is Charlene Hafer-Macko. I'm a neurologist at University of Maryland, and I'm very excited to be here today with Mike Ercik and Brittany Folley. And I'd like to have them introduce you. We're going to be talking about what it's like to have MG as a young adult.
Okay, for me, like Charlene said, thank you for having me. My name is Brittany Folley. I was diagnosed about 4 years ago with MG, and I'm currently a graduate student right now getting my master's in social work in the southeastern Boston region. And yeah, Mike.
Hello. My name is Mike Ercik. I'm a 29-year-old male with myasthenia. I was diagnosed in 2007, the fall of 2007, so that's about 5 years now. And I enjoy every day being as active as possible with myasthenia.
Great. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, when you saw your neurologist or your primary care, what was your reaction when you were diagnosed with myasthenia gravis?
Well, for me, I was kind of confused. I didn't really know anything about myasthenia gravis before I was diagnosed. I was very concerned about what this meant for me in my future. I was very much about wanting to know everything and anything I could at that first moment. I actually had to go feel like I went through somewhat of a grieving process of trying to just understand what my life was like before and what it was going to look like after. So when I found out, you know, the severity of my MG at the time, which was pretty much just ocular at that point, of the fact that it could affect my driving, that it could affect how I could focus in class and all of those things. It was kind of scary because I was still a senior in my undergraduate of college, trying to figure out how that was going to work for me and also to help myself to just kind of come to terms with this diagnosis and work through it, as well as help my family to understand what it was, because obviously if I didn't know anything about it, my family really didn't. So my reaction was a little bit of, like, very scared at first, not knowing what it was, feeling a little bit alone, and then, you know, it was more about, okay, taking that, walking through the grieving process of the getting to the acceptance piece, and then learning what I could do from there to get through it. So,
and how about you, Mike?
Well, thank you. My experience was very similar to Brittany's, actually. My first symptoms that presented themselves were ocular as well. And upon receiving my working diagnosis of myasthenia gravis, it was pretty much a emotional roller coaster from then on until, gosh, for the first 6 months was a complete ride of just being overwhelmed with news that your life is going to be completely different from that point on. And went home and just basically started researching everything I possibly could on the disease, connected with a few people, and pretty much from there just tried to sort things out.
So you actually sort of helped me segue into the next question. Where did you go to get that information you were looking for? What was sort of that journey on getting the information you needed?
Well, for me, I was lucky enough. My primary care physician was the one who diagnosed me, and she was the one who then got me the information for Mass General Hospital for neurology, and that was where I made my connection to get a lot of my information. I was hooked up with a great neurologist. Her name is Dr. Namita Goyle, and she gave me so much information, was very open and honest about, you know, the process of how she would come to terms with really validating my diagnosis, what was going to be my medication track for treatment, all of that. She also gave me great pamphlets, connections to the MGFA and my chapter, and to try and reach out there and find more supports that way.
And Mike?
Okay. My diagnosis came not from my primary care physician, but actually from a neuro-ophthalmologist. As I said before, my first symptoms that presented themselves were the ocular conditions, the diplopia and the ptosis. So through a connection of family friends, because we have a friend in the family that does LASIK surgery, so we started with him and asked if he knew any good doctors about the eyes. And after getting referred to the neuro-ophthalmologist and getting the diagnosis, he actually, in the day and age of 2007, just gave me a few pamphlets of information, but said, go on the internet. There's going to be a lot more information there that you're going to find is going to be beneficial to you. I sought out some, groups on the internet that were dedicated to the myasthenia. I didn't find at that point in time, 2007, too many. I don't even know if there were Facebook groups at that point, but there were a lot of individual web forums on the myasthenia, and I tried to just connect with more and more and more and more people. I can't tell you how many nights I didn't sleep just researching all the information that was there on the internet, and that was my pretty much my tool for getting information I needed.
So what else would you have liked to know at that time?
How to connect, I'd say, with more people who have the myasthenia gravis. When you're initially given your diagnosis, at least in my case, and I believe this is with many, I have never heard of myasthenia gravis when they told it to me, let alone knew anybody with it. So the sensation of feeling alone is the first sensation that came upon me. You know, why me? What is myasthenia gravis? Why didn't I get something I've heard about before? So just basically a quick way at least to maybe network yourself with some other people who have myasthenia, or at least be able to get in touch with some people.
I totally agree. I feel like Mike and I are on the same page of what we wanted more of. I definitely agree with the feeling of the sense of being alone. And the fact that a lot of the research that I did find was there are a lot of older adults and a lot of people of older age getting the diagnosis. And so there wasn't a lot of connections I could make to people who were around the same age as me. So I think that was really big for myself and for the acceptance piece of wanting to know more and more people who were like me. So thankfully there was the conference that I got to go to, and that's where I met Mike, and I felt finally like someone gets it.
And which conference was that, Brittany?
The conference was the myasthenia gravis annual conference that they do, and I forget what it's really called, Mike. I don't know if you can help me out here.
The national conference.
Yes, the national conference that we went to, and it was actually in Maryland, in Baltimore. So I felt very, very much more supported that way by meeting people there.
So that was a very good experience for you then.
Yes, it definitely was.
And how about you, Mike?
Likewise, that experience at the conference, the Maryland conference that she's referring to was the 2011 conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the exact same reaction that Brittany had. I had contacted people across the internet prior to that conference, but that was the first interaction I had with any other people that actually had myasthenia. And it was almost another overwhelming sensation, because when you get to these conferences, you're just looking around and everybody is in the same state as you. Everybody has the myasthenia gravis. So it was a totally different world. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and the connections I made were just priceless.
I agree. Totally agree. I think it was also very just validating that there are people out there. I'm okay. I'm going to make it. And, you know, you have support. They might not just be in your face and available to you all the time, but they are around. So I think it was really helpful for myself and for then my mother, who went with me, to take it back to my family and say, yes, there are people out there. Yes, we have connections. And yes, she's going to be fine.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, because you said support was very important and your family was there.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually helped close one of my other questions I was going to ask. So it helped you, but you don't go through this alone. You go through it with your family, mm-hmm. and your friends, and it's learning, you know, helping them through this diagnosis as well, because they also haven't heard it.
Yep, it definitely is. I feel like my family is very invested in wanting to know more. We actually got a team together for the first MG walk in New England and did what we like to call the Brits Brigade. It was fun. But my family was very concerned when they first heard about MG, not knowing what it was. And then when I finally got a hold on it, I kind of had to set some ground rules for my family, because they are very concerned and very invested in me. So I felt like I had to keep going to them, okay, don't ask me how I'm doing. Just be attentive, because if you keep asking me if I'm feeling okay, I'm going to start doubting myself. So I kind of had to set a set of ground rules about asking me about my health and doing all those things. But thankfully, they heard me and followed suit and have been very supportive, and I feel like they always will be, throughout my ups and downs.
So, Mike, what else do you think we could do to get the word out, or how to get additional information or more support?
Well, I think that in the 2012 tech generation that we have now, and since these podcasts are pretty much directed at the younger generation, it's really just expanding upon the information and connections across the internet. I know the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation has recently set up a newer interactive Facebook group, and all sorts of information is getting posted on there that wasn't available when I was diagnosed back in 2007. And also people that like that page is a way to connect with others. So the younger generation is pretty fluent on the Facebook criteria, and by MGFA getting involved and having this new Facebook page, I think that's going to get everybody connected and the word out a lot better.
Now, are you both planning on attending the meeting in Miami this year?
I would like to. I would like to start the conversation with my family about possibly looking into that. So that's definitely something I plan on trying to attend, or at least getting as much as I can out there to attend.
And how about you, Mike?
I will 100% be there in Miami, and I look forward to attending again and hopefully seeing Brittany again.
Yes, that'd be great.
And I believe there's in the works a roundtable session for the younger group for discussing all different types of topics and things that pertain to everybody with MG. So I look forward to being involved in that as well.
So that'll be at the national meeting as well?
Correct.
Well, that is great. Well, thank you both for being here today, and I really appreciate your input on this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.